Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
Would you join me as we pray together? Oh God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day, the gift of this place. And we pray that you would settle your spirit here now, that you would quiet our minds, open our hearts to the word that you have for us today. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but they would be your words for your church. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So how many of you love Pixar movies? Yeah, pretty much everybody, hopefully. Anybody have a favorite Pixar movie? Finding Nemo. Good, that's one that we'll talk about. Anybody else? Okay, I hear lots. That's exciting. Well, I've chosen three of my favorite ones, and that's what we're going to be looking at in this series. Pixar's films are known for offering hope, offering imagination and beauty, engaging our hearts and our souls and our minds, because the themes and the characters in these movies resonate with us. We can relate to their stories. Now, these films are not secretly Christian films. That's not the angle that I'm using. But I do think the insights they offer can be practically applied to our Christian life. And as we read through the Bible, we know that the Bible is full of stories, because stories have great power. And we find stories of friendship and courage and justice, things like love and adventure and ambition, which are the three themes we'll explore together. And we know that Jesus engaged the culture of his time with stories. They were called parables. And he wasn't dry or preachy in the way that he presented these things to the people that were listening. His lessons through stories captured their interest, and they would stick with the people who heard them. Even now, the stories that we know and remember. So today, using the movie Ratatouille, I want to use that to offer insight into the idea of ambition. This movie was released in 2007, and it was actually nominated for 5 Academy Awards. It won that year for Best Animated Feature Film. I want to give you a quick overview of the movie in case you might not be familiar with it. Remy is a young rat who wants to be a chef. And Alfredo Linguini is an awkward young man. He's the one that's pictured here in the center, and he needs a job. And so he is hired as a garbage boy at Gusteau's, which was a famous restaurant in Paris. That's where the movie takes place. And so he discovers that Remy, the rat, is an excellent chef. And he makes a deal with him that he will hide under his chef's hat and direct his movements by pulling his hair, much like you would with a horse and reins. And so the head chef in the restaurant, Skinner, he's the little guy in the picture, he becomes suspicious. He doesn't think Linguini really is that great of a cook, and so he becomes a nemesis of sorts throughout the movie. And of course, like all good movies, Linguini eventually falls in love with Colette, and she is the other chef that's pictured. So I'm going to pause there. We'll come back to the movie in a bit, but I want to look at what Paul says about ambition in the letter that he wrote to the Romans. So I'm going to read a passage from Romans chapter 15, verses 17 through 20. I'd invite you to listen and receive God's word for us today. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this happens near the end of his letter to the Romans. And what has happened is Paul is reflecting on his past ministry. Now, if you've been in worship with us any of the last 4 weeks, you have heard Pastor John talk about Paul's missionary journeys, the ministry that he had. And so he's using the past to bridge to his future plans. He wants to visit Rome and then go on to Spain, because he feels like a lot of his work is done. He's planted churches and he's ready to move on. Now, when we're talking about the Roman church, we have to remember this is not a church that Paul had created, nor is it one that he had actually visited. Then it was about 100 people in a city of about 1 million people. But he had colleagues there in Rome, and so he wanted their support, and he wanted the support of the church in the ministry that he was continuing to do. So throughout this letter, he's assuring them that he is certain that they will serve God, they will serve each other in ways that are outstanding, because he has seen God do extraordinary things, and he believes that there are more to come. If you know anything about Paul, you know that he was known for being more interested in what a person could be than in what they were. He always saw potential in other people. And so while he's talking about his own experience in these four verses we just read, he's also encouraging them in the way they should live their faith. And he's very clear in verse 17, the very first verse that we read, that he's proud of his work, but in a way that gives glory to Christ. Because he wants to be clear that he is an instrument in Christ's hands, that the salvation of the Gentile people was not because of anything he had done, but only that which God's Spirit did through him. Now, it mentions that he has gone from Jerusalem to a place called Illyricum, which was then a Roman province that was along the eastern coast of the Adriatic Sea. The main significance of all of that is just simply to know that the range of his work covered a very, very large area. And in verse 20, he sums it up by saying, "It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known." So when we think about ambition, when you think of that word, what comes to your mind? And what is it that shapes your perception of what ambition means to you? To me, ambition is simply a strong desire to do something. And of course, it's related to achievement, it's related to success and hard work. It's not always easy to achieve, but we know that a lot of things in life that are worth doing are not easy to do. We have to work for them. But if we don't pursue ambition with humility, and if we don't keep God at the center of that, then it can lead to falling short of God's best for us. And so there's this idea of selfish ambition and Christian ambition. Selfish ambition is what we have to guard against. In James 3:16, it says, "Wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there's disorder and everything that is evil." Those are really strong words. But Christian ambition is positive. It's beneficial. Paul says that ambition can be good when the emphasis is on other people and pleasing God. So as we mature in our faith, as we have the fruit of the Spirit being cultivated in our lives, our focus shifts away from self and toward God and toward other people. Now, that doesn't mean that we neglect our own spiritual needs or our physical needs. It doesn't mean that our personal ambition and the goals that we have are bad. In fact, they're healthy things, and those are important things. But it simply means that our love for God flows naturally out of us into other people. And we have to be careful to not live in ways that serve only our best interest alone. And so consider for a minute what a world without ambition would look like. Because often, ambition is what drives progress, and so we would likely find that our world would become stagnant at some point. And consider a world without Christian ambition, a world that's deprived of the love and the light of God. And Christian ambition is certainly important in the church. It drives all of the ministry that we do. But it's so important that we have Christian ambition in our lives away from here, our lives away from the church. And so I want you to think about your spheres of influence, the places where you live your life away from Stonebridge, which is most of your life, right? Whether it be at work, it might be at school, if you go to a gym, if you're at the ball fields with your kids, if you belong to a community organization, those are your spheres of influence where you're around other people. And so how can you be sure that your Christian ambition, making Christ known with your life, how can you know that it's apparent in all of those places? We're going to watch a clip from the movie. I'll set it up for you just a little bit. Linguini has just encountered Remy for the first time in the kitchen at the restaurant. And Linguini has ruined soup that had been cooking on the stove, and Remy comes behind him and fixes it. And it ends up being wonderful, and people love it. But regardless, Chef Skinner berates Linguini. He doesn't like him. And it's about that time that Remy comes crawling out. He appears, and everybody freaks out because there's a rat in the kitchen. And so the chef tells Linguini to take him away, to kill him, to get rid of him. And so Linguini puts Remy in a jar, and he sets out on his bike. And that is where the clip begins.
Like that. You weren't the only one who's trapped. They expect me to cook it again. I mean, I'm not ambitious. I wasn't trying to cook. I was just trying to stay out of trouble. You're the one who was getting fancy with the spices. What did you throw in there? Oregano? No? What? Rosemary? That's a spice, isn't it? Rosemary? You didn't throw rosemary in there? Then what was all the flipping and all the throwing? I need this job. I've lost so many. I don't know how to cook, and now I'm actually talking to a rat as if you... Oh! Did you nod? Have you been nodding? You understand me? So I'm not crazy! Wait a second. I can't cook, can I? But you can, right? Look, don't be so modest. You're a rat, for Pete's sake. Whatever you did, they liked it. Yeah, this could work.
And yes, if you're wondering, that is the River Seine that he's sitting next to in Paris that we're told will make some kind of an appearance in the Olympics that begin this week. But Linguini says in that clip, I'm not ambitious. I wasn't trying to cook. I was just trying to stay out of trouble. But he realizes in that moment that they can work together. And so that begins their partnership together. Now, the rest of the story is that eventually Linguini begins to take Remy for granted. He takes credit for his work. Remy becomes resentful of that. And he goes back to his rat colony with all of his family and friends. And he makes this selfish plan that they're all going to go back to the restaurant and invade the pantry there. Eventually, the staff in the restaurant abandon Linguini. They discover that a rat has been helping him cook this whole time. And of course, the restaurant is closed by health inspectors because there are rats in the kitchen. But that's not the end. At the very end of the movie, Linguini and Remy and Colette work together to pursue their ambitions. Remy wanted to be a chef, and Linguini and Colette wanted a restaurant. And so, together, they open a new restaurant called Ratatouille. And you can see the Eiffel Tower there in the background. Isn't that how it is with us as Christians, as the church? When we realize that it's not just about us anymore, that we work together as the body of Christ, that we all have different gifts, we all have different parts to play, and as we encourage one another and we run after ambition, we create new and beautiful things. I want to give you an example, something that just happened, From Trinkets to Treasures. You've heard us talking about this for a long time. It happened last weekend. It was a huge rummage sale that was held here at the church. And friends, I want you to know that that entire effort was lay-driven, not by the pastors, not by the staff. A group of women came up with a new idea. They brought it to John and I, presented it to us, and they made it all come to life over the course of many months. But it was a team of people who were made up of different gifts, different talents, and they worked together toward an ambitious result. And so they raised over $14,000 for the church. Yeah. But just as importantly, they created an opportunity to invite our community here. And as importantly, new relationships were formed among those who were here to help. I'll give you another example. The work that we do with Malvern Elementary. It's a school in East McKinney that we partner with. I talked about it earlier when I mentioned the school supplies. And so throughout the year, we have people who go and mentor students in the classroom. We have people who serve as aides for the teachers. There are other people who make bread for their staff. People that help with the summer food program. We have people who purchase school supplies and coats and Christmas gifts for those children. Different passions coming together because we want those kids and their families and the staff in that school to experience the love of Christ through this church. I'll give you one more example. You've probably heard, or you know if you're a parent, that our children's ministry has grown by leaps and bounds in the last few months. It's almost tripled in size on Sunday mornings. It is a huge blessing, but we need help. Molly cannot do that all by herself. And so one of the things that we're going to do in the next few months as we go into the fall, we're going to move them upstairs so that they can have a space of their own, much like the space that our youth group has. And so if you are ambitious about making sure that our kids have a place to learn about Jesus in a fun and safe place, let me know that. Let Molly Gardner know that. She's our children's ministry director. We need people who have decorating skills to help create those rooms. We need people who can lead kids in worship. We need people who want to play games with them. We need people who want to lead them in creative and fun lessons. All of those things are needed as we come together for one ambition. And just like ratatouille, the food, a dish of vegetables, which, by the way, Kids Church, they are making it today, so you will smell it down the hall probably when you leave. On their own, all these vegetables, the tomatoes and the eggplant, the zucchini, the peppers, the onion, all of those things are fine on their own, but when they're stewed together into that dish, they're that much better. And so it is with us, that our ambition together leads us to create new things. And perhaps some of the plans that we have, the dreams that we have for our church, for ourselves, for our world, those are dreams that God allows so that on the way, we might accomplish other crucial things that God intends for us to do. I'm going to show you one more clip from the movie. We know that Remy is ambitious. He's an ambitious little rat. He is not content merely surviving and stealing food as a rat, though. He wants something more out of his life. And so he goes back to visit his dad, who is very skeptical, to tell him that he is not coming back home.
You didn't think I was going to stay forever, did you? I mean, eventually a bird's got to leave the nest.
We're not birds. We're rats. We don't leave our nests. We make them bigger.
Maybe I'm a different kind of rat.
Maybe you're not a rat at all.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Hey, the band's really on tonight, huh?
Rats. All we do is take, Dad. I'm tired of taking. I want to make things. I want to add something to this world.
You're talking like a human.
You are not as bad as you say.
Oh, yeah? What makes you so sure?
Oh, man.
I've been able to observe them at a close-ish sort of range.
Yeah? How close?
Close enough. And they're, you know, not so bad as you say they are.
Remy admires humans. He admires the creativity that humans have. And he says, I want to add something to this world. Humans don't just survive, they discover, they create. And so what is it that God would have us do to add something to the world, to make a difference where Christ is not known? And sometimes we struggle with our role in relation to the culture around us. But just as we live and move and have our being in God, The same is true of us in our culture. It's unavoidable that we interact with it. But we have to seek to understand and participate in that culture in ways that are positive. Because we're not called to avoid, nor are we called to embrace and celebrate every aspect of culture without discernment. We have to engage in intelligent ways, and it should be a joy for us to do that, not a chore or a burden. And if we're to be salt and light in the world the way that Jesus calls us to be, we can't just criticize and retreat from culture. And it would be easy to do that in an election year, wouldn't it? We have to be mindful. It's not about who we vote for, but it is about our character. It is about our Christian character. And so all that I'll say is to be wise. Create beautiful content with your words, with your social media posts, with your behavior. Because friends, we can be better. We can do better when we don't agree with someone. Our ambitions in our everyday life should reflect the character of God. Because all of our life is God-honoring, whether it's the sacred or the secular. Our ambition is guided by love, and when it's guided by the pursuit of God's glory, that's when it becomes ideal. Christian ambition means that we remember that we're not just here to take. We're here to make. We're here to contribute. It's the whole idea of producers versus consumers. We must not settle for being mere consumers of our faith, because our life of faith should make a difference in the world. We can't entertain consumers into becoming disciples, nor can people consume their way into following Jesus. And so we have to stop thinking of the church as a consumable product that exists just for our personal benefit. And so I would encourage you to think about a way that you can take one step toward deeper engagement in your faith. Maybe that's attending worship on a more regular basis. Maybe it's finding a place to serve. I can tell you that our hospitality team and our children's ministry group need immediate help. Maybe it's starting or increasing your financial giving, or committing to regular study and being part of a community and a group. All of these things are part of being ambitious for the cause of Christ. And so what can we give to the world that's excellent? What can we give to the world that's praiseworthy? The Message translation of verses 18 and 19 that we read at the beginning, Paul said that there were wondrously powerful and transformingly present words and deeds of Christ in me that triggered a believing response among the outsiders. Friends, that's good news. Because when we shift our thinking from what can I do to what can God do with me, wondrously powerful things begin to happen that help other people come to know and believe in Jesus. There's always, always someone who needs to know of the love and the grace of Christ. And so let's make that our greatest ambition in life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.